July 18th, 2007, it's a Walk from Pedro show.
Thank you.
That was John Coltrane starting us off with Ole, seeing fit that I'm doing the show here in Valencia, Spain, along with my guest, Jose.
Hello.
Who you last heard in London, where he lives, but this is where he's from. Should we tell him Kyoko's here?
Yeah, Kyoko's as well.
Yeah, but the hatch is shut.
She's in the balcony.
Okay. What's she doing?
I don't know.
Writing? We played Migu after that with Train Run, who I'm going to get to record with next week. And hopefully I don't fuck it up. And I do okay. I've been sent some of the ideas. I've been pracking on it. This is the start of a three-week leg with Stooges. I left yesterday from Pedro. My sister brought me to the airport at 3 in the morning. And after many hours, three flights, I arrived here in Valencia minus the closed sack and the base. The closed sack did find its way here, but the base, the Bajo is disappearo. It's been disappeared. Maybe Dallas, Texas, I was told, so... Hopefully for the gig tomorrow. If not, I'll work Josh, helper man Josh Grain's Epiphone, which kind of looks like it, but sounds nothing like it. But, you know, make do. So, how's it feel to be home, Jose?
Yes, it's all right. It's nice to have you here and be able to show you.
This is my first time here.
Actually, the show is not held in Valencia, is held in Benicàssim, which is north from Valencia, about an hour drive. But you stay here overnight, and we just had some chow, as you call it.
Yeah, on the playa here.
Yeah, on the playa, on the
mariscos.
Beach. Mariscos, yeah. Did you like them?
These tiny, tiny clams, they're really good. And some calamaris, and... two kinds of calamaris, one breaded, one not. One in rings, one
and patatas bravas.
Yeah, and some...
The potatoes with the some mayonnaise. Papas, yeah.
And mayonnaise, Dutch style. Or Spanish style, I guess. But I had it with a Fritz mayonnaise in Holland a long time. The mayonnaise was more, had a yellow sheen on it more than your mayonnaise. But I kind of weaned myself off mayonnaise. More mustard chilies. Not many chilies here in Spain.
No chili food.
Now, a little later, we're going to have some chow from your own hand. Tell us about that paella.
Yeah, it's a challenge that I'm taking to cook a big paella. Because Mike is coming to Valencia, which is my hometown, I thought it would be good to cook for him one of the paella, but because Valencia is not very big, we usually gather around very easily, so if somebody's organizing anything like a small dinner, whatever, 10-15 people can gather very easily. And because my what is coming, of course, being Mr. Minute Man, even more people wants to
in
share
Jimbe.
Yeah, in Jimbe, in a gorgeous Jimbe. It looks fantastic on you, Mike. Well done.
You think I'm the only one in Valencia wearing Jinbe right now?
Right now, I think so, yeah. You have the exclusivity.
Yeah, I played Friday in Hollywood at Safari Sam, and I was the only one probably in Hollywood in Jinbe. I sweated it up big time.
But I heard Jinbe is supposed to... is Japanese clothes for indoors, like, kind of like...
Well, I was inside a club.
But
I was just walking outside right now here on the play. I had the Jinbe on, which was, I think, beneficial because it is muy caliente, huh?
Sí, it's mucho calor.
Yeah, it's
very hot.
A lot of calor. It was like blasting on it. It came here, you know, got in early in the morning, and lo and behold, just like Pedro with the marine layer. Plane dipped down and through it, and it was a gray morning. But by noon, it was burned off, which they didn't believe me, even hometown Valencia boy here. But I kind of had the feeling because it didn't look like rain clouds. It looked like marine layer. And now there's just blue sky, just azure. So, and sun has nothing to stop her.
Well, when I woke up, I was like, what the fuck? You know, why it has to be cloudy? You know, it's always sunny here. And then my mom was blaming me, so you brought the clouds from England. And then I thought...
Those are real clouds.
Yeah, they were real clouds, yeah. And I thought, it's not going to clear up, because it usually doesn't when it's cloudy here. It's cloudy for the whole day. But as Mr. Marinero Watt predicted, they cleared up, and now it's blue sky and sunshine.
I know marine layer. I was back in Pedro for 6 days, and all of them had marine layer but one in the morning. So they were gray paddling and peddling days. I heard there's kayaks here, but I haven't paddled. There's a harbor, too. I see some hammerheads, so some can work. You must have longshoremen.
Not as many as in Pedro.
What's the Spanish word for longshoremen? You must have one.
Well, we call them grúas.
Grúas?
Grúas. Hammerheads.
Okay. Oh, the cranes.
The cranes, you mean.
No, but the working men.
Ah, the working men.
Yeah.
Trabajadores. We don't have a... Trabajadores. We don't have a special word for...
For long... I bet you do. If you ask one of them. You know any?
Winnie?
Do you know any? Living in a port town.
No.
You should know some longshoremen. I do in my town.
No.
I played with some.
Well, but you hang around the port a lot with your kayak. But when I lived here, I just only went to the port where I have to take a
Nobody
shave,
at school
so. No.
Worked them.
No. Wow. Actually, my ex-girlfriend's mom, she works at customs in the port.
Yeah.
So
she knows some.
Yeah, I'm definitely she will.
So you're going to ask her what you call these guys.
Okay. There must be a word for it, but
yeah, because
so
trabajador is too much of just a worker.
General, worker yeah.
You know, which is a fine title, but to get more specific, longshore. And you know where the word comes from. The boat would come along the shore, and they'd call out for help. It was an organized, you know, so dudes would just come running to unload the boats, and they took advantage of that and paid whatever they wanted to, and people had to take it or leave it, because there's probably people in need of work. And so it was kind of brutal. So they started organizing themselves so they could dole out the gigs to folks. Speaking of which, last week I had Jerry Trebetich on, and he just got his A book, which is a big deal for a longshoreman in Pedro, because that means you're in the main dealio. And in fact, he can get time off now, much easier to do music. So, congrats to you, Jer. And Pete's still working on his. He's just an ID right now, but not just an ID. A great ID. And I know he's working hard towards it, too. Some paella. You cooked me one in London.
No, I didn't cook paella. It was fideuá. It's different.
Oh, yeah, that's
fideuá
right.
Fideuá is similar to paella. It's using the same pan, but it's like a sort of carved pasta.
Yeah, risotto.
No, risotto is with rice.
That's right.
Pasta. It's like a small macaroni with bended shape, like a curve.
Yeah, some.
It's called fideuá.
Semolina. They make it from.
Semolina, yeah. And it's typical from Valencia. There's two dishes with this: paella and fideuá.
Okay.
So, which you try
fideuá?
They
have little camarones in it.
Yeah, you have seaweed and mariscos.
Yeah.
And paella, you have several types of paella. One is mariscos, the other one is the meat paella, and you have the vegetable paella. We're going to cook the normal one, traditional paella. And the only thing is, because the amount of people, I'm going to have to cook in a couple of hours' time, a paella for like 15 people maybe, so it's...
Big pan.
Yeah, big pan, you could fry a human being.
Yeah, now you showed me in the book there. There's a book in this tail room. We're at Las Arenas. Some kind of little dive.
Yeah, some posh.
It used to be, though. They renovated this thing into something else because...
It's all changes. Something.
You used to be here years ago, tripping through this thing after a gig, right?
Yeah.
It was much different. You had a flashback or something.
Yeah, I did. Well, we were sitting down waiting for your bags. Suddenly, it just struck me, like, I've seen that building just opposite to the hotel, and like 8 years ago it was all wasteland, like almost nothing here, all just unoccupied houses, squats, and
heard some squats. There was gigs,
the squats, and quite a nice area outside on the outskirts of Valencia where the port is. But since the America Cup, this sailing competition that just has happened in Valencia right this year, they
get to host it.
Yeah, so of course, the conservative bastards, they just build as many hotels as they could around here, and that's why this thing is now a big hotel.
Yeah, but anyway, there is a book here, and it's got a picture of what the biggest paella ever made.
Yeah.
How many people?
I think it fit like 10,000 people or something ridiculous. They tried to break the Guinness record of the paella, and then they had these cranes that spin around the paella. Well, the chefs were on top of the paella on the crane above it, and then somebody were pushing the cranes around it, and they were stirring all the rice, and
right.
It's just bizarre. I think if you go onto the online, if you search like
biggest paella,
yeah,
ever.
Biggest paella or la paella más grande, you probably will see some pictures of
it. Now that pan probably had to be constructed just for that.
They made it for that.
Yeah.
To break the Guinness record. But tonight we're not gonna break any Guinness
record. Where do you
think
that pan is now?
It must be somewhere in a museum.
Is it hanging on someone's wall?
I don't think you can fit it inside a house. Yeah. Unless you have like
barn.
Probably you could hang it out of a building or something like that. Or use it as
like
a roof.
Like a big gong. Yeah, a roof.
Yeah, you could use it as a roof.
Okay.
But tonight's gonna be for, I get 15 people, so we'll see. Because I've never cooked for more than four, and in theory it should be the same. Just multiply the amount of ingredients, but
yeah,
you know that theory and practice don't mix together. So we'll
sometimes see. They do. So we're gonna roll the dice.
We'll get you drunk, Mike, before, so then you won't taste anything anyway.
No, I'm going to taste all of it, because I'm looking much forward to it. You brought some music?
I have, yeah.
What are we going to hear here?
Last time in the show in London, in my house, I played some Spanish music from the 60s. And I thought this time I would bring more Spanish music, but from the 80s and the 90s. From the 80s, I've selected some punk bands, because in Spain there was a big punk movement in the middle of 80s, but it just happened on the Basque Country. 90% of the bands were from the Basque Country. For people who doesn't know where Basque Country is, it's in the north of Spain, and it's a region which is not really Spain. They sort of separatist, and they have their own autonomy and their own language.
Same as Catalan.
Yeah, same as in the... In the east there's Catalonia, and on the west there's Galicia. So those three communities, we have our own languages, apart from Spanish, which is totally different language. So you have Catalan and in Catalonia and Valencia, and then you have Basque in Basque Country and Gallego in Galicia. For some reason, all the punk scene grew up in the Basque Country, mainly due because in the 80s there was an economic crisis in that area, so a lot of families were kind of broke and on the dole with unemployment, similar conditions as when the punk struck in the UK. So when this happened, many of the bands that raised there were kind of anti-system. You probably heard about the terrorist band ETA, ETA, which
not really a band.
Yeah, it's a band, but it's a terrorist band, I guess. Actually, one of my friends was once
more of a gang, right?
Yeah,
there was. They don't really make music.
The guy we have in the paella in my friend's house, and there was an anecdote about he was in the Basque Country once for holiday, and then he was talking to some teenagers about bands, and then he asked them. He said, well, my favorite bands are these, blah, blah, blah. And then he says to one of the Basque teenagers, what is your favorite band? And then the teenager said, my favorite band is the terrorist band ETA.
Jesus. But,
anyway, yeah, this band sort of grew apart from the left-wing it's ETA, and then there's Eribatasuna, which is the political party like the IRA and
Sinn Féin.
Yeah, exactly. And Batasuna is all left wing, and they have sort of considerable support and around the Basque Country. But the punk bands, when they raised at the beginning, they for the reasons that they were, you know, economic depression and unemployment and stuff, they didn't went with the left wing thing of Batasuna and ETA. They went with the nihilist, anti everything, anti system, anti Spain, anti government, and anti ETA, anti everything, like no future philosophy. And that's kind of struck with the left wing area of the Basque Country, because they wanted to put a label straight away. They saw, okay, there is something here going on, so we can probably use it as a political tool, angle, you know, yeah. Use all these punk bands to break through and use the lyrics. But naturally they say, well, fuck all, you know, fuck Spain and fuck ETA, fuck Basque, fuck everything. Yeah. Which is punk, and then no
they
future.
Sing in Spanish?
In Spanish, yeah. Most
in
of them.
Spain and Basque.
There was a few singing in Basque. There was one band, I've selected three bands, and one of them is called Cortatu. That band started as a ska punk band, and they were close to Batasuna and all the surrounding of ETA in a way, so they were not anti everything. But they started singing in Spanish, and then after they saw The Clash in 1980, when they came to Basque Country to play, after that they decided to make a band, and then that band lasted for 5 years, and then the Fermín Muguruza, which is the lead singer, he saw Public Enemy in 1985, and then he decided to quit Cortatu and made another band, Negu Gorriak. And that Negu Gorriak band was only in Basque language, but Cortatu was mainly in Spanish.
Yeah, I played in Bilbao, and the opening band was singing in Basque about 3 years ago.
It sounds really...
Yeah, God, I can't remember their name. Ah, sorry. But they were really good. But they put English in the stuff too, but mainly Basque, and they're cool cats, and they're very interested in making exciting music. And now you got bands all over Spain, but this is an interesting period. Something I didn't get to start playing in Spain until the 90s, so I was unaware of all this stuff. So yeah, what are we going to hear here first?
Well,
here
there's two tracks from Cortatu that we could hear. One is in Basque and one is in Spanish. The Spanish one is about Nicaragua, because Cortatu was not only about Basque Country, they were kind of international. So some of the lyrics talk about Africa and Nelson Mandela in the 80s when he was in jail. Some of the lyrics talk about Nicaragua. This song is called Nicaragua Sandinista, the one I've selected. And then there's also a song called Sarri Sarri, which is, there is a funny anecdote of Cortatu that they in, I think it was, I can't remember the year exactly, but they did a gig in a prison, right? Because they asked for it, and then the prison agreed to have the gig. And after the show, in that prison, there was a poet writer that was close to ETA, and he was in prison because being too close to a terrorist band. And after the show, they sneaked it out inside an amplifier, inside one of the cabs. This guy hid it in one of the speakers, and they sneaked it out.
Him and snuck him out.
Yeah, snuck them out. He and somebody else. And then, of course, when they found out that there were two prisoners missing, they accused the band Cortatu of smuggling people out of prison, but they couldn't prove it. So they never... They tried to take them to court, but because they couldn't prove it, then the thing just, you know, got forgotten about it. But they wrote a song about it, which I think is called Sarri Sarri.
Okay, and the third?
And the third is from a band called Cicatriz. Cicatriz was a band that they met each other in how do you call it, detox centers? You see, I need to explain this thing. The government, well, maybe not the government, but some black hand, when the Basque Country problem arose, there was a lot of heroin place in the in all the neighbors, and probably similar to what the English did to the Chinese with the opium.
Yeah.
You know, when they can't fight the enemy, what they do is they put drugs so they get all fucked up. And that's what happened. Many, many young people in the Basque Country got into heroin, especially in the 80s. And this band called Cicatriz, which means a scar, like that.
Like my knees.
Then they met first time in a rehab center, four of members.
Okay.
In like a group therapy.
And yeah,
They decided to start the band, and the band became very well known in the Basque area and in Spain because of the outrageous and provocative performances. Life was amazing, like anything could happen, challenging everything, like no future philosophy. And the band released several albums, but eventually all four members died. One died of overdose and the other three died of AIDS. I guess because of being heroin addicts, they you know, the AIDS was
very sad.
So yeah, very sad of not only them but also another bands that many members as well in the punk movement in the Basque Country died because of the heroin, sadly. But anyway, they left their legacy, which is the music, and that is timeless. It's there forever. So at least Cicatriz left a bunch of great punk songs. The one I've chosen is quite one of the famous songs called Escupe, which means spit, and the lyrics are a bit like a spit at everything, you know, pretty punk, no future philosophy.
Okay, let's hear it now then. Was Far Away by the Frog Women. Well, Jose kind of screwed up and didn't bring
Cortado. Can't find Cortado, but we'll play it tomorrow.
Yeah. Whoa, listen to that.
That's Cortado. No, it's not.
That's his leash. We're under constant.
He's a world beeping and
right.
And mobiles and fucking. Right, before we heard Salve by La Polla Records, which is right. another punk band I was going to talk about. La Polla Records as well succeeded in becoming popular, not only among the Basque people, but among whole Spanish. And they set the basis of what punk was, the Spanish. I forgot to tell that there was a label about all those punk bands from the Basque country, which was called Rock Radical Basco. And it means radical Basque rock. Although all the bands, almost all of them, hated the label because it was kind of trying to pull them together. You know, like the same thing happened with grunge and Seattle bands. They didn't sound like each other at all. Like if you put together, I don't know, Nirvana and Alice in Chains to Matt Honey to the Melvins, they sound absolutely different. But they were a label like. Mislabel, I would say, grunge, and same thing happened with the punk movement in the Basque Country. It was called Radical Basque Rock, but it really, you know, as you've heard, Cicatriz didn't sound anything like La Polla Records. Before La Polla Records, we heard Scoope from Cicatriz, which is a track we introduced before. It means spit.
Polla Records.
La Polla Records means the record thick.
Yeah, the thick records.
Yeah.
That's a trippy name.
Yeah. You know what happened when I was a kid? That's one of the first bands I heard, because I was lucky that when I was 12 year old, my parents put me in a left-wing excursionist group. Like, we went to the mountains, but not like the scouts, quite opposite. They were all left-wing people. And then the elder kids that were 16, 17 year old, they have all these tapes about Cortatu and La Polla Records and Cicatriz, and they copy them to me. And that's how I got to know them. And I think I was 12 year old in 8th grade in primary school, and I had tape of La Polla Records, and I thought, I'm gonna take a chance and bring into the bus. There was a bus that used to bring us back from the school into, yeah, drop us in our houses. So I gave it to the driver, and then he put it on.
Do you freak out?
All the kids were mental with it, because some of the titles were like Come Mierda, which means it's shit.
Yeah.
It's about, it wasn't just for the sake of it. It was criticizing all the processed food and all the additives and colorants. That's why it's called Come Mierda, it's,
yeah,
shit.
Eat shit.
But of course the kids, you know, found it hilarious, and then the teacher was outraged by it. It lasted about 3-4 songs. I think it lasted 4 songs because he was so shocked to hear that music. He never heard punk in his life, so suddenly that radical music coming out of the speakers. And then he, after 4 or 5 songs, he took the tape off and gave it to me and said, never bring it back again.
When we say eat shit, it means you fell off your bicycle or something.
Bad luck.
You had a misfortune. Or if you are upset with somebody, you tell them to eat shit. So it's an endearment. So, but this was talking about the food chain, huh? What's it? Supersize Me. You know,
yeah,
about
the documentary,
this?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, some guy went and ate that chow for a month and got
McDonald's.
All sick.
He was puking after eating, like, he ordered, like, big size meal, and he tried to eat it all, and he was instantly puking out of the car. It was like, shit, man.
You've seen it?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
I'm afraid to.
The doctors were, like, asking him to stop the documentary when he was, like,
for his health.
Halfway. Yeah, he said, you're risking your health. You may die, you know. You heard all the stuff, all those, how do you call it, analysis? Analysis, they were coming, like, alarming.
Right,
because of this junk food shit.
Well, I guess he wanted to put his money where his mouth was and not be an outsider.
Like a martyr.
Be involved.
Martyr of the junk food.
Well, I think there's a detachment sometimes with documentaries. And he wanted to remove that and, you know, make the spiel real by feeling it.
He did 2 more documentaries after that.
Is that right?
Yeah, the second one was based on he went to work on the minimum wage in the USA.
Minimum wage.
Yeah, and tried to survive, he and his wife, for a month.
Yeah.
And they got all fucked up because he...
This guy takes blows.
Well, imagine, he went with a shovel. Just digging, because that's the job you find for minimum wage. And then his hand got injured. Then he went for treatment and couldn't afford it. And they end up spending all the money they just earned just on medical treatment, leaving them nothing for eating or anything else. It was chilling, really. It was like...
What was the other one about?
The third one, he went to jail, I think. Tried to see how jail was and the conditions that the prisoners are living in.
Oh, man. For a month?
I don't know for how long.
Oh, man. What's his name?
I forgot. I can't remember.
It's a Polish name. With a ski at the end or something.
Something like that.
Damn, well.
But anyway, everybody, Supersize Me.
It's
well known.
Look that up on the net.
Yeah.
Because that's retarded for him to go through those struggles and me be so stupid not to know his name.
I mean, the guy is really brave because the documentaries are very moving and very it pinpoints the problem that the USA has with the national. You don't have a national health, do you?
No.
And that's the worst thing. I mean, what is more basic than a national health system for a society that is free for everybody?
Yeah, I agree. But I'm paying out the yang. I'm insured now because of the sickness that almost killed me, and I was uninsured, and it cost mucho dinero to get well.
Shit.
I mean, it was worth it because the doctor saved my life, but...
But what if you had been broke or not had no money, you would have died. Is that right?
Well...
I mean, that's what this guy was trying to point out, that...
It's a bad scene.
You walk into an accident and emergency room, and just for walking in was like $300 or something ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, to us, scene. To European, you know, in Spain and in England, it's not perfect, but at least it's there, the national health system, and, you know, if you got an injury or you sick, you just go there, show up, and... They won't charge you because you pay with your
right.
taxes.
I think Mike Moore has a movie about this now.
Psycho.
Already Look, we're at the end of the first hour of the July 18th, 2007 Watt for Pedro show. Hold tight for hour two. July 19th, 2007 is Watt from Pedro show.
sari 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 sari.
Okay, now are we good now? Yeah. Okay, we're here at the Benicassim Festival. The town, and the festival is FIB Heineken.
Now, the town is called Benicassim.
Yeah.
And it's a tourist town, but the FIB stands for Festival Internacional de Benicassim, which means...
Here, let me shut this hatch. Keep talking.
Okay. Yeah, it means... It's a festival which is near about an hour from Valencia, and it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, of Spain. It started about 11 years ago. I came for most editions. I've only missed like three editions.
Yeah, because we're close to Valencia.
Yeah.
Like 40 mile?
Yeah, about it's an hour drive. In fact, I play with the band Zip. I think about a few podcasts ago, Steve McKay played one of our tracks.
Yeah.
And we played in 1998.
Brother Steve,
yeah. Which will be coming soon, like in half an hour. Yeah, we played in one of the stages, and unfortunately for us, we were playing at the same time as Sonic Youth. So at the beginning, we saw the timer.
So you stole all the people from Sonic
Youth?
No,
no, it was the other way around. Well, you know what? Because we were counting our time, because we wanted to see Sonic Youth very badly. So
yeah.
We finished, and we realized that we finished like 20 minutes earlier than the show. So we left all our gear on stage, and we just shoot up to the place. And the sound engineer was like,
what
the fuck are you doing? You
butter off?
Yeah, we bugger off, yeah.
Bugger off.
And the sound engineer was like, shouting at us, like, what are you doing? People's gonna steal your gear. I'm not gonna be responsible. And we're like, fuck it, you know, we can miss Sonic Youth. And so we could see the noise beat, like, you know, all day.
I think I would get to play with them in Ireland.
In Ireland, yeah.
Electric Picnic?
Mm.
Are you gonna
go? Go Team is going.
Sorry, are you Electric Picnic?
Electric Picnic, yeah.
So is Sonic. Sonic Youth. What day do you play? So like 3 days after us, like usual?
I don't know.
Is it same day? Is it a one day thing?
One day.
So then we gotta play the same day.
No, it's no one day.
No, because
it's several days. It's like
several days?
Yeah.
Shit. Because you know, I haven't got to see these guys yet since.
It's always misfortune.
When was it? It was in Cali. No. Not Ireland. No, it was in Cali. I think it was at Coachella. Is it the last time I saw Go Team? Was it?
That's cool.
I think it was, but so maybe that was intense because I went to that gig. It was 150 miles. It was in the desert, 150 miles from Pedro. And I had to go to Iceland right after driving.
Yeah. Nice Iceland.
No, I think I went twice. Yeah, because I had been on tour and I wanted to eat breakfast with my sisters and my mom. So I went home and I came back the next day. So I drove 600 miles and then I flew to Iceland that morning.
You're such a strong mind. Like,
yeah.
Super
mega. So anyway, we drive a lot in Cali. Everything's far. You gonna come, right?
Yeah, we want to come to visit Miguel in San Pedro, yeah?
Miguel.
That's how we call Mike in Spanish.
No, but more than Pedro, though. California. I have a whole journey. The desert, the mountain, the coast.
Sounds fucking
Mexico.
Amazing. With peyote?
Peyote? Yeah, for the radio.
I'm only joking.
Say mota, man. So talk about this bass song you played.
Yeah, I forgot the song yesterday, stupid of me, but this song we just heard is sung in Basque language. I don't know if you've noticed, but it sounds like pretty weird, like it doesn't have any Latin root. In fact, they don't even know where the Basque language comes from. You know, the Basque area is the north of Spain and it's been isolated. They resisted the Romans, the Arabian, everybody.
I thought the saying is 4 plus 3.
What's that?
4 plus 3 equals 1. There's 4 Spanish province and 3 French.
Yeah.
So Basque. There's Basque and French.
Yeah, Spain is a bit of a weird place. It's not a unified country by any means. In fact, I don't think I belong to any country, you know. I think I'm a citizen of the world. That's where, you know, if I'm anything, I'm Mediterranean, really, not Spanish at all. But in Spain, there's Catalonia, and then in the Mediterranean coast, which where we are here right now, this is all Valencia and Catalonia, and then there is in the North Basque Country, and then on the west there's Galicia, and those three places they speak different languages. But Galicia and Catalan are Latin root based. But Basque is not. Yeah. They don't even know what are the real origins. So for us, it sounds like Japanese or Chinese, you know. We don't understand not even one single word. And the only...
In fact, they don't say Basque. That's like a French word.
No, Euskera.
Yeah,
Euskera is the name of the language in Basque. And Basque Country in Euskera is Euskal Herria.
All right.
País Vasco in Spanish.
Yeah, and...
I suggested that because of the economic depression in that area and it was started to be industrialized, then all the punk from Spain, 80-90% came from that tiny area.
Yeah.
But instead of being supportive of the independentism, they just went for anti-everything, anti-system, like sort of Sex Pistols, no future attitude. Except one band, which was Cortato, the band we just heard, they decided to sing some songs in Basque, in Euskera. And later on, they moved to Negu Gorriak, another band, when they disbanded, and then they sang only Negu Gorriak. Yeah, that's Cortatu afterwards.
But are they still together?
No, Negu Gorriak sang only in Basque, no Spanish anymore. Okay. And then after that, they disbanded, and then Fermin Muguruza went solo.
Okay.
And all the styles were very different. You know, Cortatu and Negu Gorriak doesn't sound the same at all, and Fermin Muguruza is a bit like more solo project. He's an amazing guy. He has a very clear vision of politics, very close to Yellow Biafra sort of way, left-wing way of thinking.
Yeah.
Very international and very concerned about problems, not just in Basque Country, but in Africa and in Central and South America and, you know, just all over the world. Wherever there is fascism and injustice, you know, you have to at least report it or try to stand against it.
Yeah.
But it was called Cicatriz, the band we played yesterday, that they were anti-everything, you know, like the song was called Speed, you know.
Right, and they all died.
Yeah, Cicatriz all died because of heroin and AIDS, and but Cortatu, they're all alive, you know. It's just the way it is. Some people choose a way of life, some others choose another, you know.
Yeah.
I think you can't blame them.
Yeah, but you said there was some complicity.
Well, the problem is that...
It's a word.
It's
complicity.
Complicity that there was too much heroin in the Basque Country.
How did it get there, though?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
It probably is similar to what happened with China.
England.
Yeah, England. You know, China, they got all with the opium.
The heroin's really from Java. They brought it. It's not from China. It was brought in.
Opium. And there was too much heroin in the Basque Country, more than anywhere else.
Actually, heroin was invented as a cure.
Yeah, the guy, you know that the guy who invented heroin, he invented the aspirin from Bayer. And then he discovered both things at the same time. And he thought that the heroin, which was cough syrup, he thought, this is the thing. And then he said, it has no side effects.
Right.
Can you believe it? And it was commercialized.
Yeah.
You can find on the internet. If you search, you'll find the label.
Yeah, big mistake.
And yeah, then that's why they call it heroin, because the first day that they got, they synthesized it.
Yeah.
They all got high, and the feelings were like heroic feelings. They felt like heroes, because they were all totally high on it.
Yeah,
they didn't know what's going
Velvet
on.
Underground song.
What's that?
The Velvet Underground song, Heroin.
Yeah.
Well, Rocky Erickson does a cover of it. And he goes, I am a hero. She is my heroine.
Exactly, that's the whole thing. Yeah.
Wow.
He was the first junkie. The guy who invented it.
Really?
Yeah, he died of heroin addiction.
Wow. Well, bad move. Okay. So, what was that song there about?
Sorry, sorry. If I'm right, not totally 100% sure, but I think it was about the story I told you, which we spoke about yesterday, about when they played in prison, and the Cortato played in a prison, and then sneak out a member of ETA inside the speaker.
Speaker cabinet.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's
how cool
fine.
Is that?
That's very cool. Well, you got some more music.
Yeah.
What do you want to play next?
Okay, next we could play a track of... Last night we had a big paella.
Yeah.
In my friend's house.
Man, this pan was like 4 feet in diameter. It's like the biggest fucking frying pan I ever saw. But it wasn't a frying pan. It didn't have one handle. It had four little handles.
Four handles, yeah.
And it went on this big propane kind of round cooker.
Yeah.
And Jose cooked up gallons of this chow, which is kind of like rice with the rabbit and chicken and tomatoes.
And beans.
And beans. And yeah, but not a lot of beans. It wasn't like Mexican.
It's a bean that's only local.
And a white one.
Yeah, it's from Valencia.
Yeah, yeah.
And surrounding.
And it was really good.
It was a challenge. And the first time I've cooked for like 20 people.
I want to enlighten people because this was tripped me out when I came to Spain. I brought chili, you know? These people here don't know chili, okay? Even though they settled Latin America and those people use it like crazy, those cats don't use it, and they were crying. They kept calling it Tabasco. And I told them, man, it was not Tabasco. Tabasco is like water next to this habanero. It's habanero, huh? Which means like from Havana, because it's only chili that Mexicans use that's not from Mexico. And it's the kind I like because it burns clean and still good flavor. It's not all chemical extract of a...
Yeah, yours is quite natural. I like it.
And that's my... I tried to make a tamer for you guys this time. See, I have my own recipe.
It was even stronger than before.
You thought it was stronger?
Yeah.
Well, I tried to cut it.
I was crying.
You know what we call that in the U.S.? We say we step on it.
Step on, move
stepped
on,
on.
Yeah, to the next level.
No, stepped on means you cut it, you dilute it.
Okay.
So, I tried to step on it for him, but Jose says it was actually hotter than last time, so...
Yeah. But you don't put chili in paella. That's
why? I didn't,
sacrilege.
It tasted righteous.
My friend was screaming, no, what are you doing?
yeah, they were very upset about it.
No, they won't get upset, but, you know,
Well, they weren't ready for chingazos or stuff. Do you say that when you want to fight?
Chingazos? No.
Chingazos.
Someone
said that. So anyway, it was really good. And the people here in Spain, you got to know this too, they eat really late. I think the chow came on like after midnight.
Yeah.
So, but it was really neat. And before that, I got to... Jose was getting all the ingredients and shit, so Kyoko showed me around the town. And downtown Valencia is really interesting.
It's probably one of the oldest of central of Europe, and I think one of the biggest center town, because it has all the... We didn't have enough time to go all around, but this big tower, like two pairs of towers, and there used to be a big wall.
He showed me my tower.
Sorry?
My tower.
Yeah, Miguelete Tower. Well, that's three towers, actually. There's a tower called El Miguelete, which means, like, small Mike or something like
Mikey.
That. Mikey. We got a picture with Mike. I'll send you the picture. You can.
They say that in Italian, too, for Mikey, Miguelete.
Mikey, Miguelito.
Yeah.
Mikey Tower.
Or they say Michele.
Michele.
Yeah, my grandfather used to say that. So, What was interesting was the sidewalks were marble, which must be really great when it rains.
It's very slippery. When I was a kid, I was
falling. Whose idea
over.
Was that? But it looks pretty. It must shimmer in the rain. And there's a bull ring downtown. They were having a bullfight. Huh? We heard them pooping it up.
Yeah, those bastards. They're still killing the animals.
Six fights a day.
Yeah, about five or six bulls.
I don't recommend anyone to see that. It's very...
How do people get into it? Is it a family thing?
No. You pay. You look like...
No, I'm talking about the Matador.
Oh, yeah. That's, you have to be born in a family. Yeah, in that context. It's like football players, you know, from little kids, they are doing that shit.
Yeah.
And they train for that, and they spend all their life.
And there's different ranks. Like, there's guys who pick on them. Picadoro.
Picador, yeah, that's
right. They get the ball
angry.
Yeah,
the one that kills the ball. It's outrageous. It's still, you know, in the 21st century, and they're still torturing the animal. I mean, they say, oh, we look after him, but okay, what about the hour the animal stays there? You know, can't escape and get stabbed over and over until it finally dies. You know,
is it controversial in Spain?
Fucking shit, you know.
No, but is there a debate, a public debate about
it? No, not really. It's a minority. I think most people are passive about it. I don't know what the majority really thinks. There must be a part of the population that kind of passive, and then a minority that's against it, and then a big majority or a big chunk of people that support it. They think it's part of our culture. There's too much. It generates so much money, like the football.
Yeah.
It cannot be stopped.
Okay.
Maybe so one day.
What are we going to listen to now?
Sorry? Before was Joy Division.
No. What are we going to listen to?
Are we going to... Okay.
This is in the background. I ain't picking this.
We're going to... Shall we play... Remember you met my friends yesterday. It was about 20 people there.
Yeah.
And some of my friends make music as well. You met Hector, who writes poetry.
I heard the music that man put...
Yeah, with Nacho. And they make poetry and... They put music, so we could play one of the songs on the back.
Let's do that right now.
Arrancaría la piel hasta quedarme con lo imprescindible y viajar como arena con los segundos por las antenas, pero yo peso mucho, arrastro un mundo en condena y enseguida me hundo en alcoholes y pena, rabio y me doy con la cabeza, con las voces que escucho en las paredes abiertas. Me arrancaría la piel como si fuera hoy el último día sobre la tierra y celebrásemos lloros y cantásemos guerra, como yo iría si tú quisieras, lanza de fuego, ascua de sirena, acero en silencio, azarosa materia, red de gemidos por las antenas. Que no descansan jamás.
mis sirvientes. Digo a mis sirvientes.
Busy with the paella, it just released.
Yeah. So it had great artwork. Some guy made montages.
Yeah, another friend. He published one book first of poetry called El Insomne. Like how do you say that, people that can't sleep?
Yeah, insomnia.
Insomnia, yeah. And just now he has published the second one. I haven't even seen it. He brought it to me last night, but I was so busy with the paella I didn't have the chance to see it. And Nacho, another good friend of mine, his cousin, by the way, he puts music to his poetry, and then Hector sings it. So it's quite interesting. I want to see how the project develops, because they got 5 songs, but it sounds quite promising. Then I met
a guy too who just became a singer of a band.
Ramon. Ramon is one of my best friends, and he's really into music. I mentioned Ramon and Roman in the previous show in London because they introduced me to those 60s bands, the Huracanes and all those Spanish 60s, because they're really into it. And finally, as a surprise, Ramon has joined a band as a singer, and Roman has joined another band as a keyboard player. So for the first time in their lives, they're now into the side of music which is the production side, the writing. So it's really cool, really exciting. Now all about more people is just making music, which is fucking exciting. That's what it's all about. And then after that we heard 3 Friends from 100 Pets,
which is Sam
And the Sam,
from Goatee.
Excellent.
Sam lost a hearing in his ear.
He heard that. Fucked for a musician, that's really fucked up.
Yeah, he was, we did a show in Glastonbury.
I heard that,
yeah.
He's such a sweet guy, and very humble, and very...
And then the last song
we heard.
It's a nice one.
It's called by Sugar Call by Penelope Tripp. The Penelope Tripp was a band from Spain from the 90s that
I saw in
Benicassim Festival on the first edition of the festival, and it's one of the bands that influenced us when we were doing music, because they were a bit, they got influence from American bands like My Bloody Valentine and other bands, but they had their own sound in a way. And the shows were like crazy, like they hide behind the speakers and they did all crazy stuff. So I thought I would brought a song by Penelope Tripp. They disbanded in late 90s, but anyway, the first time I got to see them was in Benicassim here, like 11 years ago in 1995. Cool band.
Who was one of the first bands in Valencia, punk bands?
In what time? In
the first punk bands.
Well, I think probably Los Huracanes, we played in the last show in the 1960s, that's probably one of them.
No, but when the punk scene came...
When the punk.
Yeah.
There's not been much punk in Valencia, because it all came from Basque Country, 90%. There was some punk, I mean, with Basura, I played one song in the last, in London.
A little short song.
I brought some more, we can hear this. We were punk, and I used to hang out in the squad, and there was more punk band, but there wasn't really a big scene. Only Valencia is really pop. This festival, Benicassim, is 90% pop. There's no punk here. In fact, I was shocked when I saw the Stooges. I think that has to do because it changed to English promoters. Maybe they're trying to change the style slightly of music, but it's been always pop. You know, never any punk or any... I mean, we had electronic here in Benicassim, that's why Zip could play. So electronic is okay, electronic and pop, but not punk or...
Do you have a favorite Valencia band now?
Not really. Well, I live in London for the last 8 years,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, but you come visit, huh?
Yeah, I do, but... You know, there's... I'm not aware of many... Valencia scene is a bit... It's not too big, you know, it's not... There's nothing big has come out. I don't know why.
What about
but
them squats that we walked by the other day?
The squats, yeah. The squats are a lot of punk bands, you know. When I was a kid, there were a lot of bands, but we were like a minority in among Valencia City, so like quite marginalized.
Yeah.
The only strong movements that have been in Spain, it's been in Basque Country, the punk, and then in Madrid in the 80s,
La
Movida Madrileña was called. And then, as well, in the 90s, the indie pop scene came from Gijón, in North Spain. And Penelope Tripp was from Gijón, which is her and I just talked about, this indie band that played Benicassim. And there were other bands as well, so they were Madrid is the main capital, but Basque Country and Gijón is not the place where you expect the scenes to develop. And even Valencia is the third biggest city. Nothing strong has come out. When we were in SIP, they tried to push it. They call it the Orange Movement, because the Orange are from Valencia. You know, we have Orange.
Valencia.
So they call el Sonido Naranja, the Orange Sound, which I hate. I thought was really cheesy and pretentious. So one of the SIP songs got published in an Orange city with Valencia bands. And I thought, I don't like it. Why? I don't belong to any Orange city, you know. But there you go, you know, that's people doing their best.
Well, let's play some more music.
Is there a place that you can't go back to? Is there a town you can't maybe there are whole states you don't even want to pass through. Are you getting down now? You're a weakling. your mind on? Are you dog tired? Do you feel like you can't get no worse? I'm a big guy. Can we try this? I would be the whole universe. Will you be the center? You burn inside me like a spark. Anatomy in my heart. Anatomy in my heart. Is your mind gone? Are you dog tired? Do you feel like you can't get no worse? I'm a big guy. Can we try this? I will be the whole universe. You be the center. You burn inside me like a star. Anatomy in my heart. Anatomy in my heart. Is home in the sky is
Thank you.
we heard Atom in My Heart by Frank Black. Then we heard Susie Wong by Duncan, which is a guy that came up to you in Glastonbury.
He's got a last name too.
And then
Duncan,
where is he?
Lloyd.
Duncan Lloyd, yeah. It's a guy who came up to you in Glastonbury.
Yeah. And sent me the song.
He sent you the song and then you just play it. You see, I was telling to Mike before that somebody who's like Mike Watt, a living legend, and then a guy comes up to him and he says, "What's your email?" and then sends a song and then he will straight away play. That's the right spirit, you know. I wish that many artists that of your caliber, you know, we had that kind of right attitude, like helping other musicians just to...
Well, that's tradition I'm from. You know, in the old punk days, we were very tight with each other, and you toured together, you made records together, fanzines, put on gigs. So I didn't feel I should grow out of that tradition. I thought it's a genuine and...
admirable.
What did we hear after Duncan?
And then we heard La Haza by Girls of Zaytay. And
Zaytay,
yeah. And the last track I picked it myself is called Ocean by Lush. Lush was... Do you know about Lush?
No.
L-U-S-H. Lush was a band from England from the 90s. And it's one of the bands that I am... It's in my heart. You know, some bands you like them so much for no reason, just because they touch you. And Lush still is one of my favorite bands. And I saw them in Benicassim in 1996, I think. The song I picked was from the second record. It's called Ocean, and I picked it because I like the lyrics a lot. It's like going onto the waves. And Mickey Berenji is the singer.
There's a Lou Reed, his first solo album was called The Ocean.
Ocean. You are marinero, so you know a lot about ocean. And I'm a fish, so I know. I met Mickey Berenji, the singer, in Amsterdam. I was traveling with my friend Johan from Zip, my band Zip. And we were in Amsterdam. We couldn't see them in Reading because we didn't have enough money. And we were in Amsterdam, and then I was looking at just some news on newspaper, and then I saw something, Lush, they were playing. I said, "Oh, let's go. And then after the show, I had a chance to meet her, and I took a picture with her, like, great picture. And then I said, I need to meet her and give it to her. But we live in London, and I think she lives in London as well, but for whatever reason, we've never bumped into each other's. But I got friends, I got a few friends that have seen her, but not me. So if you're listening, Mickey, I got a picture that I want to give you.
Now, what's the London scene like nowadays?
It's alright. It's... You know, to be honest, I'm only aware of the punk and experimental scene. I'm not too much into the mainstream and Enemy Music, which is a shit newspaper and all that commercial thing. I'm not aware of that shit. But, but the punk and the alternative scene is... I think we talked in the last show, Kaori brought me to a cool place, like this squad happening, and then we saw this band called We Got Members that did us from Oslo, and they did an amazing show, Arabian Influence, and yeah, it's going. So I don't know, we'll see if something develops from there.
And it was out of squad.
It is a squad, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the place where you see advertising in
okay,
a newspaper.
Yeah, right.
You have to know someone to get to those places.
Coco. Yeah, isn't that a club in London?
Yeah.
Camden.
The Coco is a part of the circuit. You know, that's not a squad. It's a venue. It's a proper venue.
That's what I'm saying.
We saw Deerhoof there.
Yeah.
A while ago, and it was fucking amazing. You know, and Deerhoof is, I think it's right now my favorite band.
I got to see him with Raymond in February or March. Played in L.A. at the El Rey, and they were really good. They're really good. I got to play with them on the Queen Mary once, on a boat.
The Queen Mary on the boat?
Yeah.
Did you?
She's beached in Long Beach. She doesn't float. Yeah, it was one of the Altamars parties.
Ah.
In fact, the Stooges played that. That's where my mother saw me play with the Stooges.
Really? Oh, that's how cool
and
is
she
that,
thought man. It was trippy.
Excellent.
No interesting man, Mr. Iggy Pop.
Oh, that's brilliant. I'm glad to hear that. Was she proud of you?
She thought it was... She was laughing so hard. Yeah, my mom, she sees me maybe once a year. And she is always tripping on what I'm doing with the music. She's been to a lot of Dose gigs. She supported us early on. The Minutemen.
The Minutemen, yeah.
All the mothers helped a lot. Georgie's ma, D. Boone's ma, died before we got the band going. But she was really instrumental in me and him playing. In fact, she's the one who put me on the bass. I didn't really know what bass was. But
well, it's not that you had. I saw the documentary of We Jam
in Corner. Yeah, we talk about it, right? Because Arena Rock, you were so far away, I didn't know. I saw in the pictures it had four strings, but I didn't know they were bigger. I didn't know it was low.
I didn't. Look.
Well, that was tuning. That was the whole other nightmare. Or experience, journey to find that truth.
But that is brilliant.
We thought it was a personal thing if you liked the blues or tight. We didn't relate it to pitch. You can believe that. We didn't even relate it to pitch, which is shows how tongue deaf we were.
I think it's brilliant.
Just didn't know. And you didn't write your own songs, you copied records, which was really kind of hard.
Especially if you if you're not
got it
together.
Yeah, we hardly ever got the parts right. So we ended up like doing versions of our own.
Do you have anything
song.
Recorded of that?
No.
Ah, oh, pity.
Probably
shame. It
thing.
Would be a trip to hear with a different tunings. You play Smoke
probably
on the Water?
Really, yeah.
Smoke over and over again.
Over. The one part.
Not
even the chorus. Just the one part. And then the first one of the first solos he learned was Susie Q, Creedence cover. Creedence didn't write it, but they covered it. And then American Woman, which was the Guess Who? Not the Who, but the Guess Who. And we would play this thing for hours, you know, after school, you know, on and on. Oh my God. His mother was a saint to put up with that. But she wanted us where she knew where he was because of his projects. So we'd be out of trouble. So it ended up being a good thing, I guess.
Of course.
Because I got to get into music.
I think all parents should encourage the kids to play music.
Yeah.
I know
parents.
Yeah,
my pop didn't know about it at all. He didn't. Hey, Ronnie. Oh, shit. Okay, guys.
We're going to go.
July 18th, 2007. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Here's part three of Jack Flanders and Tropical Hot Dog Night.
I arrived here about 4 months ago. The first thing I noticed was... Did you want anything else?
Oh, no. You were saying?
Oh, yeah. You asked about at night. Well, you know, it's a black and white world.
Shadows and light?
Yeah, that's it.
What happens when the fog comes in?
Everything happens.
What is everything?
It's like you're on fire, but you can't see the flames.
Why can't you?
Because you're not there.
You're somewhere else?
I don't know.
You don't remember?
It's like you wake up and you know you've been doing something, something special, and you got the marks to prove it, but you don't know what it is.
And what are the marks?
Marks are what's left after you communicate. You know what I mean?
No, but keep going.
It's a new reality.
And that is?
Well, you have to know the old to recognize the new.
And the old was?
The old was, we lined it up the way we expected to see it, and then that's what we saw.
You saw what you expected to see.
That's right.
What was it you were lining up?
The marks.
And the marks are memory, thoughts, symbols, words, images?
Yep.
Ah. And the new reality is you don't line them up.
No beginning, no middle, no end.
And non-linear.
It's all just little shots, you know?
Snapshots.
Little shots, stuck all over your mind. And then, if you think straight, you make stories. But if you just let it happen, the stories make you. You know what I'm saying?
The stories make you. You mean, make your life?
Well, yeah. You know, the stories we tell ourselves shape our lives, right?
But when you don't make up stories...
You find yourself living in one.
But not your own?
Make up your own and you limit your life.
Limit your life to what you know.
You gotta relax. Let it happen.
But it's not your story.
It is if you're living it. I gotta go.
Catch you later.
Marshall, did you follow that?
Almost. But there was a point where...
The plant zigged, and I zagged.
I'm not sure if I followed it either, Mojo. But I think I have some idea of what he was talking about.
Well, like I was saying, if you look out the window, if you've got a window to look out of, you'll see the fog is creeping in.
Yeah. Well, we were leaving here anyway. What's the name of that cafe again?
Come on, you know what it is.
No, I can't remember.
It's the...
What was that?
The Fat Pink Pussycat.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hey, we'll see you there in a few minutes.
What was so funny?
I'll tell you later. Are you ready to go?
Yes, let's leave.
Didn't find anything?
No, but you do have an incredible collection of film noir.
Well, maybe next time, pal.
We're just passing through.
You'll be back.
I'm not so sure about that.
I bet you 10 to 1.
10 to 1, huh?
You heard me, pal.
Well, if I win, how will I collect?
I guess you'll have to come back.
Then I'll lose.
That's the way the game's played.
I see. Okay. So long.
I'll see you next time, sport.
What a strange man.
Yeah, I think he spent a little too much time in that bookshop.
You're a fan of film noir.
Well, yeah. He had some great videos. I'd love to rent them all.
You're not forgetting why we are here.
No, but if I had the time, I'd... You know, that fog is really moving in.
It's pretty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very soft, but it's odd.
I feel that, too.
It feels kind of like it's alive.
Bookstore? Where?
Jack said it was down some little alleyway called Loose Lips Lane.
Loose lips? The kind that sinks ships?
I think it refers to just a blabbermouth.
Not a snitch?
Oh, that's different.
Well, come on, let's go see.
Wait a minute, I thought we were going to meet up with Jack and Claudine.
Call them, tell them.
Well, I tend to agree with you and Dominic. We should stay a little longer.
Then let's stay together.
But I want to see the bookstore. What is the name?
The Private Eye.
Is it filled with mysteries?
Yes, even the owner.
The owner of a mystery?
His name is Johnny Seven.
Sounds like he stepped right off his shelf.
I think he may have.
Where did you say?
Oh, it's down a little alleyway called Loose Lips Lane.
Come on, Mojo. Do not stay long, please.
I will keep in touch.
Come on, Mojo. Hop up.
I think I'll just walk. I'm not feeling like Brer Rabbit right now.
Well, I'm feeling like Brer Fox, so come on, Uncle Remus. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay.
My, oh my, what a wonderful day.
Are you okay?
I don't know. And you?
I think so.
Do you feel something is shifting?
I'm not sure if it's shifting or flipping.
Flipping?
You know, sometimes things flip.
You mean like flip in and flip out?
No, just flip.
Jack, I can't see very well.
I think it's the fog. Everything is becoming blurry. Even you.
Oh, I like this bookshop.
It's got an interesting feel to it.
So do all bookstores, don't you think?
Well, the ones that sell used books, they have something special about them.
Yes, just like used people.
Man, you macho women can be tough.
How you doing, sister?
Oh.
Oops, sorry, didn't mean to rattle you.
I didn't see you, brother.
Hey, you ought to see the videos they got back here.
Most complete collection of film noir in the entire Caribbean and the Caribbean.
Oh, but why only mysteries?
Why not?
There are other things in life, don't you think?
I carry what's relevant.
All this is relevant?
Stick around. You'll see.
What will I see?
Mystery. What else is there?
There's life.
You're telling me that's not a mystery?
Claudine, I think I can see right through you.
I'm feeling very strange.
Hey, you're not gonna vanish on me, are you?
I hope not.
Can you see through me?
I always could. No, but seriously, you have lost all your color.
Well, am I just black and white?
Yes, you are.
No shades of gray?
Not much.
Okay. How do you feel?
I feel if we don't leave now, we won't be able to.
It's gonna be hell sailing out of this stuff.
Please, call Mojo and Dominique.
Right. Mojo. Mojo.
Jack, what's up?
We have to leave.
What's going on?
The fog is getting thicker and something is happening to Claudine.
I see. Okay.
Dominique, we gotta go.
No, not yet.
We are sailing out.
Tonight?
As soon as we can get underway.
Oh, man, is that possible?
We're going to attempt it.
Dominique, let's go.
No, not yet, all right?
If we don't go now, we're going to be stuck here.
So, we stay.
Look, listen. Something's happening with Claudine.
What is?
I don't know. It's got something to do with the fog.
Claudine is becoming transparent. I can see right through her.
She's vanishing?
I don't know. Listen, we have to leave here now.
What? What did he say?
Claudine is fading.
She's what?
Just meet us at the boat.
We're on our way. Come on, Dominique, we're going.
No, first you tell me what is wrong.
No, first I'm picking you up.
What are you doing?
I'm carrying you out of here.
This is crazy.
We're all crazy, you ought to know that.
Put me down.
Hey, you need a hand?
She's not heavy, she's my sister.
I said put me down.
I gotta run. Salute.
Oh, Joe, put me down.
Now, there's a guy who knows how to pick up a dame.
Thank you.
just heard Meat Puppets doing a cover of Black Flag song called No Values. Something during their sessions for their first album. Before that, we heard Etna by Sun O. I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's Sun with two N's and O followed by three closed parentheses. So maybe it's O. Collaboration with Boris, a Japanese trio. We started off the third hour with part three of Jack Flanders and Tropical Hot Dog Nights. More music here. Watt from Pedro Show. We'll be right back. right. We started off that block of tunes with Shaskin by Omar Faruk Tekbilek. Some Turkish jams. Then we heard from a band, I think they're from Wisconsin. They did a song called Hanford Nuclear, but what really intrigued me was their name, because it's spelled just like my best friend's last name. They're called Pettibone. And I don't know how it's pronounced. And I don't even know what kind of connection. I told Raymond about it. He said he had no idea. But he thought it was trippy. We were walking back to the boat after seeing the ponies, and it came to mind. We had A Bungalow on Pluto by Tokyo Overtones. And then finally, I Visualize by Ann Watts and Boyster. More tunes, sounds, jams, right here, a lot from Pedro Show.
Mine is
to run. Put out the light. It's alright. I saw you coming. It ain't no thing that can't be king. They say be kind. I'm trying all the time, but I can't seem to find it anywhere. It's been hard since I broke your heart. So many broken nights. Well, I guess that's fair. But ain't no thing if I can't be king. Oh, it ain't no big deal to be alone. Don't get me wrong. Just a song. It's been a long time, and I've been fine, but I'm tired. Oh, tell me that you're tired. We'll put it all away.
A little bit late, and she just went for the stay. You see, the clever girls love for the clever boys, and then the clever boys seem to have a different choice. They want a good little chick that likes to blow them away. So when the last time all the fun can make a day. Trouble to admit. her boy will ever look for a mate who goes to rental debates and runs a little bit late, and she just won't want to stay. You see the clever person for the clever boys, and then the clever boys seem to have a different choice. They want a good old chick that likes to blow them away, someone that loves their own men, but never thinks that it's clever.
From Pedro Show. We started that bunch up with Sacred Alchemy by La Blanche Alchemy. Then we had OMGS by Green Milk from the Planet Orange. Then Pulled Out the Rug by Scott Cheshire. Clever Girls Like Clever Boys by Pell Carlberg. And finished up with England Dreamin' by Koozie Johns. We're at the end of another Watt from Pedro show. Now, you're probably wondering what happened to Jose. And we only got the first 2 hours of this show done, actually, in Benicassim and Valencia, Spain. And I had to finish up here in Tokyo. And that's why you heard mostly music there. And I miss having Jose's insights. It's much honor to have him aboard. Look forward to doing another one with him. Yeah, till next time. For the July 18, 2007 edition of the Watt from Pedro show that also had a July 19th and a July 28th addendum hours. Only the first hour is really the 18th. Yeah. Keep your powder dry.